Yo, what's up? Welcome to the OKB's podcast, episode 47. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye. Joining me this week is Alex Vinnick. And what's up, Alex?
Yo, what is going on? E3, I'm dead tired.
Man,
I'm dead.
I think we're both dead tired. This is like, this is like my second time maybe technically covering E3 because I did some stuff for OKB's last year.
Yeah.
But this is like the first time where I'm trying to cover E3 to this extent.
And yeah, so, I feel like we're both trying to simulate the E3 experience, except from the comfort of our own living rooms.
Yeah. And like, it's technically easier to cover it from like outside of E3 rather than at E3 covering it.
But like, still tired.
Yeah, the fact that like there's like 1,000 things announced and it's hard to like create content about all of it. But all considering, I still think we've done a pretty good job as far as like, I mean, I won't say we. I think our guest writers have done a really good job as far as like...
Shout out to people who write recaps, because I did one for Microsoft, and that was hard.
Yeah. I like...
It's hard to remember like every detail, and you have to like essentially go back and watch. Because the way I was like watching it in the car, trying to take notes, it just... Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm assigned to recap the Devolver Digital conference that I still haven't yet, because
I don't even know what you would recap, because it was nuts.
One, I'm busy. Two, I'm trying to figure out how I want to do it, because it's not going to be a recap, of course, since like Devolver
Digital conference
was like, it was a whole different kind of thing. But I want to write an article about it. But I got to figure out how and in what way. But yeah, like shout out to guest writers. I'm not going to name. Oh, actually, I could name names because there's only six of you. But yeah, shout out to JC, Noah, Quentin,
Sam.
Moises, Sam, and
Logan.
Shout out to all six of you guys. We appreciate you. For those listening, make sure to hit up okbs.com. Go to the read section. We have all the recaps there. And it's those six dudes, and of course me and you that contributed to recapping these conferences. And so it's been a successful week. We have videos coming up the rest of the week. We have this podcast going up. We have Pix Pulse Radio. We'll have a roundtable going up later on. And yeah, the E3 doesn't stop until the fat lady sings. The fat princess sings.
Yep.
Yeah, man.
Till the Sony orchestra.
Till the waterfall. Till the audio comes on at the beginning of the conference. So,
yeah, like, what was up with, just real quick, this is not about PlayStation, but what was up with the hanging bodies at the PlayStation
that
conference?
That was dope. I remember, it was super ridiculous. Like unnecessary and super random, but I saw
and then
it
and
I was
cut
like,
to it and I can't see what's going on screen. It's like, thank you for showing me those bodies. That really enhanced my experience.
It was the most unnecessary thing I've seen at a conference, but it was also the most, like, that was kind of cool. Like, usually I'm not a big fan of, like, flair and, like, random, like, effects that people put up there to just, like, enhance the experience because I don't care. All I want to see is the game or the trailer or whatever. But that body, I was like, yo, okay.
These are real zombies, man.
Yeah, I was impressed. And I think that's just, like, the choreographer in me that's impressed. Like...
Bad it would suck to be the dude who has to hang there for
I was thinking about that earlier today. Like, I was at work just thinking, like, was that a real person or was that like a, because was he hanging there the whole time? Like, that would suck. And imagine if there was like a malfunction and the dude just fell and died at E3. Like, I think that would earn game of the show, or
I think it would
that would win PlayStation E3, but at what cost is what I want to ask,
man.
Yeah,
anyways,
so this is part three of the OKB's podcast E3 coverage, and it's all about Nintendo. Nintendo just had their Nintendo presentation, E3 presentation, I think that's what they called it. Their Nintendo Spotlight. They didn't call it a Direct, interestingly enough. They called it a Spotlight. And it was actually pretty good. But before we get into it, let me just remind you guys that the OKB's podcast is a weekly gaming and nerd culture-centric show. This is where we get together and talk about the biggest topics in games and culture. If you like the show, subscribe to us on your streaming service of choice. Visit OKBeast.com and follow at OKBeast now on Twitter. Once again, this is E3 week. Also, we have t-shirts. Make sure to check that out, OKBeast.com/store. Also, A+ Anime is out. I've been announcing these things for like the last like three episodes. Yeah, and I don't... It's not necessary, but I have it written down, and so I have to.
I like the hustle, honestly. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, we're about to recap this Nintendo. Oh, shirts are available now.
Yeah, shirts are available. Also, rate us on iTunes. Let's get into Nintendo. So before we get into it, do you have any like preliminary thoughts on the Spotlight?
Yes. So going into the Spotlight, everybody had tempered my expectations to not expect anything. Like I was tweeting you earlier, expect some Mario, Virtual Console, and a couple indies.
Oh God, they didn't have Virtual Console. I just realized that. Yeah. Sorry, go on.
But that's the opposite of what we got.
It really is.
But everybody, like even media, were like, don't expect much, you know?
Even they were like, don't expect much. Like they said, like all the stuff we're going to talk about is stuff that's 2017 only. 2017, yeah.
And they pulled the greatest heist ever and did the total opposite of that. Did a Beyonce album drop at midnight with all these releases. And it's awesome. I can't wait to talk about it all.
Yeah.
So I think went in with little expectations, came out glowing.
I'm in the same camp as you as in the fact that I went in with I think I went in with higher expectations because like I went in with tempered high expectations because of the fact that the Nintendo presentation really disappointed me. Like I'd never been so disappointed after watching a conference in my life. And I was super bummed out, but the one justification that people kept giving me that I was very accepting of was the fact that E3 is coming up, and with E3 coming up, that means that they'll want to announce their big hitters at E3. Yeah, and I was like, okay, I guess that makes sense. Like, I'm very disappointed with what I have now at the Nintendo presentation, but I guess I'll wait and see what they have at E3, and hopefully that's where they'll announce Mario Maker and Smash for Switch. But E3 is here, and yeah, I still don't have my Mario Maker in my Smash for Switch, and there's no Virtual Console.
We'll get to all of these things.
Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff that I didn't get that I wanted, but there is some stuff that I did get that I didn't know I wanted, and there's some stuff that we got that I didn't think we'd get at all. But let's just start off at the beginning. So they began with Xenoblade. Actually, is this chronological? Sorry, we're going off the Kotaku's thing. Yeah. Is that right? Did they start with Xenoblade?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, maybe they did. Okay, so
I could be wrong, but Xenoblade, this is the order Chronicles, we're going in.
Yeah, this is the order that Kotaku has it as, and so maybe it's chronological. Going through it now, I think it's chronological. I'm like scrolling down.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, so they start off with Xenoblade Chronicles 2.
No, actually, they start off with Reggie sitting inside of a box.
They did.
Close your focus and open your mind.
Yeah, he was giving like a spoken word poem, which as a spoken word poet, I was appreciative of it. I was very confused and I was very like, it was very cringy. And I was trying very hard at work not to like die laughing because it was very much, it reminded me of being at poetry events and watching people go on stage for the first time and just be like,
oh,
the game.
Listen to the beautiful buzz and the glowing channels.
Yeah.
And it's like, it was exactly what are you that on, type of Reggie, game. Right now? Close your focus, open your mind. I'm like, oh, dude, this is awesome.
Yeah. And like the better part about it is the fact that Reggie isn't like, as a person, as a human being, Reggie isn't, he doesn't come off as like sensitive or like deep or like introspective. He comes off, he looks like a colossus. Like he is this big man. He looks almost threatening, but like threatening in the sort of way of like, oh, this is my big buddy who's like soft on the inside, but he has like an outterior that is scary. Like Reggie is this big hulking dude and he's out here giving us poetry, and it reminds me of like he reminds me of like that kid off Recess, the cartoon, like the big kid who's like very soft but like very big. He reminded me of that a little bit.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, but from there so they went into Xenoblade Chronicles 2.
Which looks super cheesy, but you know, people are going to love it, I think.
People love Xenoblade. Wait, hold on. Didn't Xenoblade Chronicles 2 come out for 3DS, or was that like a spinoff thing?
That was a spinoff thing.
Or was that Xenoblade Chronicles X?
Yes.
Is that was called?
There's Xenoblade Chronicles X and 2, I believe.
Because it originally came out on Wii. That was the first one.
There was one on Wii U that might have been X.
Was it Wii U?
Was it Xenoblade Chronicles 3DS? It wasn't 2, I'm positive.
I'm going to look this up now.
Because the Xenoblade Chronicles, it was like, it came out with a new 3DS, and it was one of the few exclusive new 3DS games.
Yeah, I think that was X. I think X came out on 3DS. Okay.
Maybe it came out on both Wii U and X, or and 3DS.
Wait, say it again?
Did it come out on Wii U and 3DS?
That's what I'm trying to figure out right now. No, it just came out on 3DS. It didn't come out on Wii U.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Maybe yeah, I guess Xenoblade Chronicles 2 was supposed to hit Wii U, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, possibly. I think when they originally announced it, people thought it was going to come out on Wii U, is my assumption.
Right. Okay.
But maybe they pulled, like, a quick switcheroo. Yeah. No pun intended, but they pulled the switcheroo. But, yeah, I mean, it's Xenoblade Chronicles. If you love the first one, you'll love this one. If you love JRPGs, you'll probably love this one. I know nothing about Xenoblade Chronicles. I tried playing the first one. I wasn't
too into it.
Yo,
that dude pulled a sword out of that chick's chest. He looked at her, yeah, she was like, eyes up here, and then he touched her chest and a sword came out.
It is a very risque game for a Nintendo console.
Man.
Like, there's some things happening in that one. But actually, the exciting thing, though, is that it's coming holiday 2017. And so, like, that means more games this fall on the Switch, which is always a good thing. Like, games coming out this year is very welcomed. And, like, I actually saw somebody post this online. Like, they posted, like, the whole catalog of games that Nintendo has coming out for 2017. And it's actually
pretty,
like,
hefty.
Yeah, like, it doesn't suck. Like, when they first announced it, I was like, yo, this lineup sucks, because all they really had after, like, the presentation was
Mario and Zelda,
and they had Splatoon and ARMS.
Yeah.
And then, like, a bunch of, like, random indie games. But after this, like, yo, Xenoblade Chronicles in the during holiday, I mean, that's really exciting.
I know they barely covered it on this conference, but it is Nintendo. Mario X Rabbids, that game looks dope. Yeah.
They actually did talk about it a little bit during
a little bit,
this
conference. Yeah, yeah.
In fact, did they start with that?
That maybe would have been started.
Yeah,
started
it's probably not in this Kotaku article because they didn't announce it.
Yeah. But that game looks... I love XCOM. I love Banner Saga, like those tactical... it's essentially an RPG, and I assume that's what... I think they've even said they're calling Mario Cross Rabbids an RPG. Mm-hmm. But I love those kind of games, and I'm stoked for it, man. Like, I'm so excited. And it's
coming
so
soon. I don't know
if
I'd say I'm stoked for it.
Did you see the gameplay?
Yeah, I saw the gameplay. I saw it at both Ubisoft, and I saw what they had here. I thought it looked kind of funny. And I'm not like a rabbits person. Like, I thought I would hate the rabbits, but like seeing their personality, I was like, okay, I like the Peach Rabbit. The Peach Rabbit.
I think the minions
funny.
Prepared us for this.
Maybe. For the maybe like the minions are so annoying that seeing the rabbits in comparison, I'm just like, oh, that's more acceptable.
Yeah.
But like the gameplay doesn't interest me, but I'm not really like. I guess that's not really my type of game. Like, I was never like an XCOM person.
Sure.
And then also, like, I know I still feel like the Mario Rabbids thing is kind of random. But also, like, the way I kind of look at this game, and I don't know why I look at it this way. I don't know if this is their aim, but I kind of see it as like a game that's like more for like a younger audience. Like, I see it as kind of like a kid's game almost.
See, I can see that with the aesthetic and the like, mm-hmm. just the subject matter, but the gameplay itself and the combos they're showing seems very complex. So yeah, it's kind of this weird, like, yeah, I could see it for children, but the gameplay seems more for adults.
And Mario's always kind of been like that, like,
yeah,
Mario true. And I don't know about the rabbits. Maybe the rabbits like kind of span generations, and so I think that I think for kids, I'm sure kids would love this game. And then, like, there are adults out there that see like the more deep gameplay and they want to get into those systems, and so I think that totally makes sense.
It's smart business strategy.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Because it's essentially really deep gameplay with a very approachable aesthetic. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, makes sense business-wise. That's probably going to be a day one for me. The gameplay kind of sold me on it. I wasn't, before going into it, I was like, eh. You know, it'll probably be like some knockoff, like, just B game. And it might be that, but it looks like a ton of fun.
Yeah.
So, all right, sorry, continue.
Oh yeah! Next up, they showed off a Kirby game. They didn't really give it a name. Coming to Switch in 2018, which I think is really interesting because usually Kirby games kill consoles. Like, you don't see a Kirby game come out the second
till
year
the very end
of a console. Yeah, you don't see it till the very end.
They just released one on 3DS like 5 months ago.
Yeah, and so this looks interesting. I've never really been into Kirby. Also,
just besides Super Smash, you know. I haven't either.
Kirby's another one of those games that's like, it's, I think it's very much aimed towards kids. It's also like very easy. Mm-hmm. From what I've played of it, I played like N64 Kirby, and I played like Kirby's Epic Yarn on Wii.
I have to say, Epic Yarn again. Nintendo crushes it with the art direction.
Yeah, that had some great art direction. But I never had a passion for Kirby, and I don't really know anybody who's really passionate about Kirby. But the trailer for a Kirby game, I thought looked pretty cool.
Yeah.
So that was my biggest takeaway from that one.
Yeah, I don't think it's gonna light the world on fire, but I think. And do you think it's gonna be a $60 game?
Maybe. Knowing Nintendo, like if it was on another console, I'd say no. Yeah. But knowing Nintendo, I think Nintendo values their first parties like
so
much.
Was that 2017 or 2018?
2018.
Okay, all right then. Yeah, that makes. Yeah, and I was gonna say having that many $60 games in 2017 doesn't make sense, but
yeah,
it's 2018. Yeah, it'll be 60.
Yeah, I think that'll be one of the ones they push. Given the fact that this trailer was pretty like front and center. In the way they put 2018 up there tells me that like they kind of they believe in this game enough to like show it off beforehand. Like they want to they want to build anticipation, and so like the fact that they're confident in it makes me be like, okay, this is probably like a more fleshed out, deeper Kirby game. I'm assuming.
Listen, my plan for the Switch is honestly, I plan on picking up every first party game that comes out.
I'm interested to see how that goes.
Yeah, I know. I'm gonna be. I hope I don't get burned. But that's kind of why I bought it, you know? And I kind of felt like I missed out on all the Wii U first-party games. Granted, if it looks bad, I'm not going to get it. But if it looks fun, I'm going to try them out. Because it has been so long, you know, since I've played these games. Especially Kirby, man. I haven't played a Kirby game in a very long time. Was there one on Game Boy? I feel like that's the last time I played one.
Probably. I can't think of one. There has to have been.
Yeah, on the Game Boy Advance or something.
Yeah,
it's been ages. So Kirby, sure. I'll hold my judgment till I see more of the game. But yeah, why not?
Yeah, the most interesting part of this announcement for me was the fact that it ended and it said 2018, and before this conference, spotlight, whatever they want to call it, like Nintendo said that they're only going to show off 2017 games, and so like the 2018 or. Yeah, they said they'll show off 2017 games. So, like, the 2018 at the end of this trailer was, like, a hype moment for me because I was like, yo, all bets are off. Like,
yep.
That this means that, like, anything can happen. I made a tweet. I was like, yo, there's no more rules anymore because, like, Nintendo said 2017 for this thing, and then they showed a 2018 thing. I was like, okay, well, that means
and then
that,
there's
like,
another 2018 thing and another. Yeah. And it was like...
I was like, what that? It's like when your uncle lies to you or when your parents lie to you and they're like, oh no, we can't go to Disneyland.
And then you wake up and you're Disney.
Yeah. And then they wake you up the next morning and they're like, hey, get your clothes on. We're going to Disneyland. It's like, wait, what?
I'm so confused.
It's like one of them good lies. Yeah. But speaking of 2018 or maybe not 2018, but speaking of releases that are far out, Game Freak.
Not 2017
for sure. Game Freak is making a Pokemon RPG for Switch, which is one of the bigger announcements. Like, that's one of the best announcements from this thing.
We called it.
Considering... Oh, yeah. Like,
so... There were so many times in this conference, I was like, I told you.
I made a video about this, like, 6 days ago that's now, like, kind of invalid. Because, like, I... a week ago, they announced Pokemon Sun and Moon... Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon coming out for the 3DS this fall, and they announced Pokken Tournament coming out for the Switch, which is hilarious because like people were anticipating Pokemon for Switch, and for them to come out and be like, oh yeah, we do have a Pokemon spinoff of Sun and Moon, it's called Ultra Sun and Moon, and it's coming out for 3DS, not Switch. That was like a blow. To people, like to me specifically, because I really want to get back into Pokemon.
I literally screamed in my car.
Yeah, it was the most frustrating direct I've ever seen. It was like an 8-minute-long thing.
Switch fans, we've got one more thing for you.
Yeah.
Pokken Tournament. And it's like, oh, are you kidding
me? And it's like,
me?
Oh, okay.
It's like when you like ask for a Voltron toy for Christmas, like back in the day, and you open it up and it's like the Kmart generic brand.
Yeah.
And you're like, what is this?
You wake you up and you're in Disneyland. You're like, oh, I wanted Voltron. No, like it... I made the argument in my video last week that... The reason why Nintendo wouldn't want to put this version, like the Sun and Moon version of Pokemon on Switch, would be that they would want Pokemon's first showing on Switch to be created from the ground up for a Switch to show off the Switch's capabilities. Like, they wouldn't want, like, the first Pokemon game, like, the first hardcore Pokemon game on Switch to be, like, this lower quality experience. Not that, like, Sun and Moon is lower quality, but it's a 3DS game, and the 3DS compare it to the Switch, like, power-wise, like, they don't compare, because the 3DS was very much made to be able to play, like, these smaller games or these more unique experiences, and Switch is made to play, like, bigger, like, console experiences and smaller games, but they wouldn't want their first, like, this huge IP that they have, which is Pokemon, they wouldn't want that their first outing to be, like, oh, it's this 3DS version. They want people to know that, like, oh, no, Pokemon on Switch is going to be Pokemon on Switch, which is why I think, like, I truly think if they wanted to put Ultra Moon and Ultra Sun on Switch, they could do it. Like, they could, like, I know, and people have been giving me this argument all week, and it's been annoying me so much. I know ports cost money. I know porting games isn't free.
There's been so much salt this week, by the way.
People have been so mad at me this week because I speak truth. If Nintendo ported, or Pokemon Company, or whoever ported Pokemon from 3DS to Switch, they would make their money back very easily. Like, very, very easily. Like, you cannot tell me that the amount of money that it takes to port Pokemon or port any 3DS game, like, to port a smaller game to Switch, the money that it takes to do that is, they will make that money back in multiples by putting something on Switch, because the Switch has an install base, and the Switch has an install base that buys things. Like, it's look hungry. How many people bought Zelda. Look how many people bought Mario Kart. The people who own Switches are going to buy Nintendo games, because that's what people who own Nintendo consoles do. They buy Nintendo games.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, like, but I think, once again, I think their reasoning is that they don't want Pokemon's first outing on Switch to be lower quality. And so, I don't know. I mean, how do you feel about it? Do you feel the same way, or do you have, like, a different take on it?
No, yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense, at least for me. You know, Nintendo doesn't always make a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. I don't know. To me, yeah, it makes sense. Like, I don't want a port of Pokemon, you know, the pixelated 3DS. It's gonna look terrible blown up on the Switch. And if you take the time to, like, change the you know, the aspect ratio and all that, you might as well just start work on a new game after, like, it's gonna take you a year probably if you want to do it right, you know, polishing it and everything. You might as well just put that work into a new game and to show off your console to its utmost potential. So I'm stoked for the new Pokemon game, especially it's by Game Freak. I was kind of worried technically the first Pokemon game for Switch is kind of a knockoff with Pokken Tournament, but
yeah,
I'm excited for Game Freak to, like we know there's a true, proper Pokemon game coming. I'm also worried because there's a lot of pressure, because all of my childhood I've wanted, like, a gorgeous, like, 3D Pokemon game, and I'm worried.
No, I understand.
It's a lot of pressure to, you know, there's a lot riding on it.
I don't necessarily, like, expect, like, a gorgeous... Actually, let's talk about expectations, because I don't really expect, like, a big, like... I don't expect it to look like Monster Hunter or, like, a... I think it's still going to be somewhat top-down. Like, I think it'll probably look way better than Sun and Moon, but I don't think it'll be, like, the thing people are expecting of, like, a big, sprawling Pokemon world. I think it'll still be, like, pretty much what Pokemon is now, but just, like, looks a lot better.
I mean, I'd be happy with that.
Yeah,
I mean, I'd also be happy see with them going the route of, like, a Yoshi's, like, the Yoshi, we'll talk about it in a second. Mm-hmm. Yoshi has a great art style, and it's kind of that, there's several, excuse me, sections in Yoshi that does kind of have that 2.5, like, almost isometric angle to it, an art that could work for a Pokemon game. But then again, different team, different pedigree, so I'm not necessarily expecting that, but it would be nice, you know?
Yeah.
The 10-year-old Alex who was always like, I want an Xbox quality graphics for Pokemon. Like, that is part of the dream, but also I honestly just want a fun game. And like, pixel art, like, look at the last night that was just announced at the Microsoft stage and shown off at the PC gaming show. That is a pixel game that looks incredible.
Yeah.
Probably maybe my favorite looking game from the show this year. And so, like, pixel art is not dead or not, like, it's refreshing still if you do it right. So whatever aesthetic they go with, I'll be fine with it. I just want it to be fun in the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. I'm really interested to see how it pans out, because this hasn't been a thing before. We haven't gotten a Pokemon that's, like, on a quote-unquote console. Still a handheld, but it's a really powerful handheld. And so, like, I want to see what they can do, because I mean, this it's a moment in history that we can't repeat. And so put up or shut up, as they said in Stomp the Yard Part 2. Metroid Prime, that's not a real movie. Metroid Prime 4 was announced right after this Pokemon thing, which is kind of crazy. That was like the back-to-back, like, double hit, yeah, like, boom, yo, boom, let's boom. Shut him down. Do you have
probably
any takes on this?
Announcement?
Yeah,
I
think
for,
so, too.
For Nintendo fans, at least.
Mm-hmm.
I've rarely played, like, I haven't played many Metroid games, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I've played a lot of Metroid-inspired games, but I was never really into Metroid as a kid. I know Metroid Other M and all that, like, I've played those, and which was, I know I'm gonna get crucified for this, which was the 3D one?
Metroid Prime, or are we Prime. Talking about like first person or third person?
First person.
Oh, those are the Metroid Primes.
Okay, they are? Okay.
Yeah.
So I like thought, the I thought at one point they switched it up.
So like the third person, the first person shooter Metroids are all like, those
Prime.
Are Metroid Prime 1 through 3.
Okay,
then they
okay.
had a third
I haven't
person
played the
one.
Metroid Prime. I played the Metroids, the 2D.
Yeah, like the 2D ones. Yeah, there's yeah. like I can't remember what the ones were called for Game Boy Advance. Metroid Fusion, I think, was were the ones on
that
Advance.
Right.
And there's like Super Metroid and Metroid, of course, are like the older ones, and those are both all 2D.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is exciting.
So this is going to be a first person, most likely.
Yeah. This is going to be. Yeah. Oh, this is 100% like going to
that
be a first person.
That makes me a lot
game.
More excited. Just because I feel like I've played so many Metroidvanias at this point, it mm-hmm. would be hard to live out. Like, Ori and the Blind Forest is one of my favorite games of all time now. And I think it'd be hard for a 2D Metroid, which they did announce. We'll get to that.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to have a lot of expectations that they'll have to. And with Metroid Prime, like, it's been so long for both of these that
yeah.
they have a lot riding on this.
We can talk about 2D Metroid now because it's. I don't think it's on this sheet because it wasn't at the thing.
Yeah.
But like they also announced after the direct press spotlight, whatever they call it,
yeah.
they announced Samus Returns. I think is what it's
yep.
called.
Yep.
Dang, I'm surprised I nailed that. They announced Metroid Samus Returns for the 3DS, which is essentially like a 2D Metroid game.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, one, that's exciting. That's super exciting. Two, I'm really bummed out because
that
I don't have a 3DS.
Switch.
I have
yeah.
a Switch. And also, why are you still releasing games exclusively on this 3DS? I don't understand it.
It might have been in development for a while. Who knows?
It might have
been.
Did
they show any gameplay off? I think they did.
I don't know. I didn't see. Yeah. They might have. But, like, I mean,
actually, I know they did. I know they did.
Yeah.
So I think it's farther along than Metroid Prime 4.
I mean, oh, yeah, that's 100% further. I think they said that it'll announce or that it'll come out like later this year.
Oh, wow.
So,
okay,
like,
yeah.
yeah. I mean, it's been in development longer, but I mean, it's Nintendo.
Why not?
And so,
bring
like,
it to Switch.
I mean, I still
it's
think they would have had the knowledge
while.
That
yeah.
Switch, like, that Switch is in development. We need to get games for Switch. Or, like,
yeah. yeah.
Even by the time they had Switch in the pocket, like, if it was, like, last fall or whatever, that they could have, like, informed people, like, oh, you guys that are working on this, also, like, start developing for, or get it working for Switch and all that stuff. Like, I mean, I think that for them to put it on 3DS is a very purposeful decision. People were making the argument to me on Twitter that it was for money, that they want to sell, like, the install base of 3DS is, like, 40,000 versus, like, the... Or, not 40,000. 40 million or whatever versus, like, the install base on Switch, which
five.
Is, like, 5 million. And I still... I think that's a bad justification. Just in the fact that, like, the Switch is the successor to the 3DS. It's also the successor to the Wii U, but it's the successor to both, right? And so, like, you don't get... Like, once the PS4 was out... You didn't get exclusive games on the PS3. Like, that didn't make sense. Even though the PS3 had a way higher install base than the PS4. That's because you put games on the PS4 to sell the PS4. You put Samus Returns on the Switch to sell the Switch. Is my at least my argument for it. Like, I wouldn't understand why they wouldn't. Except for the fact that they want to push Metroid Prime 4. But I still don't think that reasoning works out. Like I mean I'm making that up in my head, and so that's I mean but like I do not understand why they wouldn't put this on Switch. I don't know, what do you have any thoughts on it?
Yeah, well, I mean, so PS3 games did release after the PS4 was out, but they were like the C tier games that were mm-hmm. like, let's just get these out. I think there might have been one, I can't remember, there might have been
one like
game.
FIFA,
there was something that was like, why is this coming out on the
PS3? There's like Metal Gear Solid 5,
yeah, I can't remember,
what's gonna come out on PS3.
There was a game that I think was exclusive to PS3 and not PS4, and it didn't make any sense. But again, that's like the outlier.
I think I know what you're talking about.
That's not the norm. I can't think of it. Yeah, I can't think of the game, and that's because nobody played it. But that's kind of the outlier, in my opinion. Like, mm-hmm. I think, and even if they did bring this to 3DS, if they decided the game was too far along to bring to like switch totally to a new console, like, why wouldn't you just, and maybe it is coming, you know, to the Switch mm-hmm. eventually. But you wouldn't use, that's like leaving money on the table.
Yeah.
5 million Switches. I think the attach rate is like, I think I've heard the number like 50% or 60% right now.
Yeah. The attach rate is high because people who own Nintendo consoles buy Nintendo games. And so like, even the money argument also doesn't make sense to me because the amount of money that it would take to port this thing is nothing compared to the amount of money they would make off it selling it on the Switch. And so like, and I, once again, I know porting takes money.
And and maybe it wouldn't make it up immediately, but over time.
Yeah, I think it would immediately. Like, how much? How much money would it take? And I'm not asking literally because I don't know exactly. But
I
like,
think you're mostly dealing with man hours. At that point, if you're doing it in house,
like the amount of money that it would take to port a 3DS game to the Switch, like, I know probably architecturally they're probably very different, but they're both Nintendo consoles. They have the ability, licensing is not an issue at all. Like, you have direct, you have permission, you have everything you need in order to make it happen. And
there's
not like
much smaller companies who feel incentivized to get their games on Switch.
Mm-hmm.
And so you'd think for a Metroid game, which fans are so hungry for, I would say that Metroid has an even higher install base or an even higher like attach rate because of just the cult following that it has. So games, these little like Binding of Isaacs and the stuff, like Binding of Isaac is a great game, but I feel like it has nothing compared to Metroid, like name wise. But these companies feel incentivized to port their games. So that tells me that the money side of things, like it is worth it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just me.
Yeah. Back to like Metroid Prime 4, though. I'm like really, I think the thing that made this announcement surprising is the fact that nobody ever thought they would get Metroid Prime 4.
Yeah, it like, seemed like the dream was dead.
Yeah, it's one of the things of like, I was expecting at some point they would announce a new Metroid, like if not this year, then maybe within the next few years, but I didn't think it would be Prime. I would have thought it would have been like a new spinoff, like a Metroid.
Federation Force 2.
Oh God, no. No, like
just
a new, like a mainline Metroid game, but like of a new brand. Like there was, they
Metroid
had, they,
Maker. Metroid
there was
Dungeon.
A,
yeah.
There was a Metroid game leaked a while ago, like in the late 2000s, that I can't remember the name of, but essentially, like they've had other ideas for like different Metroid brands, but for them to go Prime 4, I think is really interesting, considering the fact that like Metroid as a franchise doesn't sell as much as like Zelda and Mario and all their other franchises, and so like,
but it's,
I mean,
honestly been
reason.
A long time. Like
it has been a long time.
Things might change now. You know,
that's actually a good point. The fact that it's been dormant for so long might change things, and the fact that Nintendo doesn't really have first person shooters under the belt, like the fact that like this is a first party first person shooter might do a lot for their console. That's like,
it actually makes me a lot more excited when you explain, because like I said, I'm not gonna front, I'm not a huge Metroid fan. I love the games, like I said, inspired by Metroid, like the formula is awesome, but the actual games themselves I've never really sunk too much time into. Definitely not the 3D one. I think I played Metroid Prime, One of the one on the GameCube or the Wii, maybe one of the, it was like the Wii collection. Was there?
Oh yeah,
Prime
there was.
I played
that
at Target
really
once. I played that game at Target or a game somewhere on a screen. I was like, man, this is cool. Like I had fun with the little demo I played, but never did anything with that. And so I can't. I'm like, just knowing the fanfare behind it, like how Nintendo's been killing it lately. I'm really excited.
Yeah, I have the collection. My Wii doesn't work anymore, so I can't play it. But those games are dope. Imagine like a very spacey first person shooter that's a Metroidvania, but it's like a first person shooter Metroidvania, and the fact that like you're getting powers and like you're kind of exploring like this large space.
I remember a kid when I played that demo, I was fascinated that I could go from a first person shooter into a little ball and roll around.
yeah, people absolutely love Metroid. Like that game has a following. Like it's not, once again, it's not as big of a following as Zelda or Mario or anything like that, but it's still like the people who love Metroid absolutely love it.
Yeah.
So I'm really hyped for it.
Yeah, I'm excited for it.
So they also announced a new Yoshi game coming in 2018.
Okay, blessing. This is where I'm taking over.
What's up?
I'm about to drop the hottest take on you. The hottest bomb. Open up your Twitter that I sent you some images. Okay?
Oh, God.
My argument. That Smash Brothers images that were leaked a couple weeks ago, those are 100% real. Look at the photos I sent you.
Okay.
The first one is the one of the screens from the Super Smash Brothers. And then it's like in the exact, I mean, it's slightly different and heavily detailed because I would think it's a promo image and also it's a different game. But just how, it's just very interesting how the aesthetic, the tone, like everything is like very, very similar between the Yoshi trailer and the Smash Brothers.
So I'm like zooming in right now.
You're okay. You're okay.
I'm doing some
just the way everything's right paper. The back, like, it's so strange that that would be the aesthetic that happens to be. I don't know. It just the color tone, like the colors. Granted, the like I said, the Smash Bros. Image is more detailed, and I don't know if that a final game would look like that. But it look it does look like some sort of advertisement or concept art or something. And I don't know, man. As soon as I saw that Yoshi trail, I was like, I've seen this before. I want your feedback.
I'm trying to figure out where else this level, the Smash Bros. Level.
So the Smash Bros. Level is from the 3DS.
Okay.
But oh, the 3DS version of that Smash Bros. Map looks nothing like it.
Interesting. But what was it based off of in the 3DS?
There's a Yoshi world.
Oh, okay. Huh. I think you might be onto something.
I don't know.
I'm a very skeptical person, and so it's hard to convince me.
I know. That's why I'm like pointing out all the.
That's why I'm like staring at it very much, like very.
But if you
closely.
Look at the background, just the colors of the greens, like just the general contrast, and just I don't know.
I could see that maybe possibly.
I mean, like I said,
I don't know. Those listening, look up the Smash leak from a couple weeks ago. Look up images of this new Yoshi game. Let us know what you think, because
yes, please.
I'm not convinced, but I'm also not convinced. I'll say that.
Yeah.
I think there might be something there. How do you feel about the Yoshi game in general?
Sorry, yeah. Yoshi looks awesome, man. Honestly, like these days, like if you grab me with your art direction, then it's most of the time hook, line, and sinker for me. Because that's honestly, like, I don't really care about graphical fidelity per se, but I care a lot about art direction. I want to enjoy what I'm looking at while I play. And if you have, like, some, like, out of the box, like, when they did, like, Woolly World, I was, like, I almost bought a Wii U for
it
that.
It looked crazy.
Because,
yeah, it looked awesome.
Yeah, and the same thing for this. Like, there, some of the screens I sent you weren't that high quality because I took them on my phone, and I just screen capped the video, and I wasn't at 1080. But there's also some, I attached some 1080 screens, and they just look gorgeous, dude. Like, and that's like one of the first. That's like, if you want me to play your game, like, make it look compelling from the get go. Then you have my attention. Then I start paying attention to the gameplay. Oh, this looks fun. Like, and I feel like that's what they've done for me. They've grabbed me with their general colorfulness and whimsical, just color palette, and I don't know. That grabbed me, and then I started paying attention to the gameplay, and I think I'm in, dude. Like, I'm obviously going to wait and see more, but yeah, I'm ready for a Yoshi game. I thought some of the platforming looked fun. Some of the little, it looked like there were some hidden areas that looked pretty cool, but.
Yeah, I think it looks cool, too. Yoshi's a lot like Kirby to me in the fact that, like, the way I see it is still, like, it's like a kid's game that I'm not really interested in. But, like, if there's, like, if it's a really good Yoshi, like, if people look at it the same way they look at, like, Yoshi's Island on SNES, then, like, or SNES, because people get offended by SNES, then I might be in. But so far, it's still, like, it's funny because, like, when you look at, like, other conferences, right, you get, like, Sony's, like, oh, we got God of War, and then it shows, like, 2018, and then you get, like, these epic trailers, and it's, like, 2018. Then you get, like, in the Nintendo conference, which I'm not hating on Nintendo, because I think it's actually, like, it's adorable, but Nintendo's, like, oh, we got Kirby, 2018, and it's, like, Yoshi, 2018, and I'm, like, man, this is such a stark, like, contrast between these two different types of companies.
Yeah.
But I don't know, I think it's exciting, though, like, the fact that they're announcing games for 20, that are coming out next year, has me hyped. I'm just sad that there's no Smash or Mario Maker. Like, it makes me even more, like, kind of nervous that we might not see Smash or Mario Maker, even though I just think
it's the same argument as the Metroid stuff. Like, I think the 2D Metroid will come to the Switch. I think, like, they're leaving so much money on the table, but and they know it by not bringing Smash or Metroid. Like, they did it with Mario Kart. Like, they proved, like, yeah, we did it with Mario Kart. Like, they know, they saw the numbers there, and I'm almost positive that that thought has run through their mind. Yeah, we should probably bring
Nintendo's
Mario Maker.
A crazy company, though. Like, yeah. They made the Wii U.
Yeah, that's true. I feel like we're in this weird place where they had the change of leadership, and they were kind of steering the company into a different direction, but we still see glimpses of that old weird Nintendo that made weird decisions. But then we also have these dope, we see like glimpses of this new Nintendo as far as like, hey, we're not going to show anything. Boom, here's a whole bunch of stuff. Like, that seems like a very new Nintendo thing to do. New Nintendo 3DS by now.
Oh my God. Don't get me started.
No, but I feel like we're in this weird place where we're in this transition period where we're still seeing like those decisions from a few years ago, like the 2D Metroid only coming on 3DS. Mm-hmm. And then we're seeing these new, this glimpse of a new like Nintendo who kind of gets it. That's kind of what I think. So I think we're going to get, I have a feeling we're going to get the virtual console within the next few months. I think it would be a huge mistake if we didn't. But we'll see. I have faith.
I don't know.
I believed. They delivered today.
I don't think virtual console is going to be a thing.
They've already said it is.
Have they, though? Yeah. I don't think they've said the words virtual console.
I'm pretty sure they have.
Because I think they've said the word. I think they've mentioned how they're going to like have Super Nintendo games be like online capable. But I think that they're going to, I think what they're going to do is they're going to start releasing like individual games on the store, and I think they're just going to scrap the idea or the branding of virtual console, because I don't think they've said the words virtual console.
Well, then it doesn't, if as long as the games come, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it doesn't matter function. But also, like, I don't know how many games we'll see. Like, I'm just curious about the form that we'll see those games, because I don't know when we'll see them, and I don't think it'll be soon.
Sure.
And I'm still apprehensive, like, I'm, because I totally agree with you in the fact that like the good business decision would be to port Smash, and at least for me, port Mario Maker just for Blessing, because Blessing really wants to play that game.
That was like their biggest game. Like, I
really want Mario Maker. But to port those things would make sense, because people barely bought the Wii U, and if you port it to Switch, like, that's, you're opening up a whole new fan base.
Feel like, if they would have come out today and announced, they only had 25 minutes. Mm-hmm. They would have.
I mean, that's they're doing though. They could have gone as long as they want. They could have gone 24 hours.
That's a good point. But I think if they would have come out with more ports than new games, which maybe isn't the case now, but I don't know. I think maybe they chose to focus. Like, I think we got all new, pretty much. Like, everything that they talked about was new. Right. So I feel like we might not be. I can't talk.
Yeah, Rocket League. But I was like,
that's true. That's like a third party though. But like first party, I feel like it would have been a different story if we got a bunch of ports. Like, people, that would be the complaint coming out of it. Like, all we got was ports announced. So maybe they chose to. This is just me speculating. Maybe they chose to focus on the new stuff. And in 3 months they'll, because what they do a direct every few months, right? We're not gonna, it's not gonna, they're not gonna go dark for till Christmas.
That's true.
I mean, maybe in a couple months they'll be like, okay, here's some ports that are coming out in addition to all this other stuff. Who knows? You know, this is just,
I think
me.
That's fair. I think that's fair. Next up, we have Breath of the Wild's first DLC coming June 30th. Wait, that's, I don't know why I thought it was in the fall. When, but going into this, I thought the DLC was coming out in the fall.
That's like
it's coming out June 30th. I did not realize that.
Yeah, dude.
What is it? The Trial of the Sword or something like that?
Yeah, Master Trial of the Sword. I can't remember. It's essentially Master Mode is coming. So, like, freaking hard mode. Enemies floating on octo balloons. There's, like, a new trial mode. There's all sorts of stuff.
Yeah. So, that's really exciting.
There's a, and then they announced a DLC number 2.
Yeah, it's called The Champion's Ballad.
They had, what's his name, Cass, was playing a little ballad, and it was shown flashbacks. Yeah. No Link was shown.
Is that the one with all like the four heroes?
Yes, and Zelda.
Yeah. Okay.
So there's no details, but I'm excited. There's a second DLC pack that seems maybe more story based.
Yeah, that's what it seems like.
Yeah, so I'm down for that.
They also announced Rocket League coming to the Switch, which I think you thought it was already announced.
We knew that. Yeah, I thought it was too, but
yeah, I guess
it's
it
hard
wasn't.
To keep track.
But it's something that's like kind of very obvious. Like, if you don't put Rocket League on Switch, then you're tripping. Yeah. Rocket League, I think, is probably my game of the generation so far.
Are you going to buy it on Switch again?
I don't know if I'll buy it on Switch. Maybe I'll buy it on Switch.
Depends.
It's like $20, and so, like, maybe.
Depends if it comes around. If it comes out near a trip, then I feel like it's like guaranteed $20.
Yeah,
oh
yeah, it is a great like trip game.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm kind of with you. I don't know if I've already purchased it 2 or 3 times. I feel like on Xbox, PS4, and PC, but
it also does have exclusive content.
Oh, does it? Oh yeah, you're right. You're right.
Like the Mario hat as like a topper.
I'm calling it. We're gonna get Mario Karts in this. I guess cars.
Oh yeah, they have to. If they don't, then
dumb.
They messed up. Like, yeah. I don't understand
I trust them.
But yeah, Rocket League is for is like.
I feel like that'd be a great portable game, to be honest.
It would be a great portable game.
And maybe I could finally get good at the game because I could put more time into it.
Yeah.
Because I'm terrible at Rocket League. So bad.
Yeah. Like, I said it was my game of the generation. That's a lie. Zelda is my game of the generation. But Rocket League is probably a strong number two.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's really hyped. And then they ended their spotlight with Super Mario Odyssey, like a gameplay trailer, which looked awesome. And Super Mario Odyssey is also another contender to be my game of the generation. Because, like,
it looks
if
so
you know
good.
Me, I like had a falling out with people today because, like, somebody told me they didn't like Mario, and that became a whole thing of, like, how do you not like Mario? It's the greatest gaming series of all time. Mario 64, my favorite game, and this is a game that's within that same breath of Mario 64 that is trying to chase after that. And so, like, the trailer looked cool. It started off with, like, this dinosaur thing. I don't really know what I can even say about the trailer. Like, it looks like more Mario Odyssey. Like, take the trailer we got before and just expand it a bit more, and it's kind of that. Like, it's a great trailer, but, like, I'm kind of just ready for the game because I feel like in my head I already know what this game is and what the game's going to be. And I kind of blame Game Explain for that. Like, if you're unfamiliar, Game Explain is a channel on YouTube that they do analyses and all this stuff. And they did, like, a two-hour-long analysis on the first Mario Odyssey trailer. And by the end of that analysis, I felt like I had already, like, I felt like one of the creators of the game. Like, oh, I already know what this is.
Can you imagine me the one who has to make that recap? Those look like so much work, but they're freaking awesome.
Oh, dude. Everything about those, the way they do their videos is amazing to me because, like, during the Mario video, like, the segue is also, oh, and then, like, there's this thing, and then if you look over here, you get this thing, but not only that, if you look over here, it's this thing, and not only that, and it's just that for 2 hours. It's just, like, the not only that, but if you look here and look at this detail, you gotta, you get this out of it. And it's that over and over and over again. It's, like,
it's
such
the
a, like,
ultimate
a,
cure for ADD. Like, you have my attention 24/7.
They jump from thing to thing, and everything they jump to is super fascinating, and they're so on point with everything they put out. Like, it's not like conspiracy theory kind of thing. Like, it's not like, oh, we think that, like, Mario's hat might talk because Miyamoto one day woke up and he had a trip and he had a talking hat or something. It's nothing like crazy. It's all, like, very, like, very
factual.
Plausible, very, yeah, like,
they're
understandable.
Huge fans of these games, and so they use that to their advantage. They have a lot of knowledge about it, and so they're like, hey, this is from this. And that means that this probably so.
Yeah, and they're people from the industry. Like, the main dude, like, used to have a job at IGN. And, like,
yeah, yeah.
He worked as a journalist and all this stuff. And so, like, check out Game Explain because they're incredible. but yeah, like, Mario Odyssey. Like, do you have any thoughts on the trailer?
Dude, man, I'm in. We've got, like, we've all sorts of stuff that point to things that make me happy. Like, the health bar's back, so that points to, like, old school Mario 3D. Stuff like 64 and Sunshine. I don't know, it looks great. Like, and it even seemed like, so in the Treehouse Live, after they showed the actual gameplay and stuff, they were playing the game and they're in, like, city level.
I was just watching that,
and it almost, there was a moment that almost seemed like a shrine in Zelda where they went in this, like, 30 second to a minute long thing. And granted, Mario 3D, like, Mario has these side things a lot. Like, if you play, like, Mario World, like, you can go inside those houses, do a little challenge and get something. I guess it was more like analogous to that
or whatever.
Yeah.
Bonus levels and stuff.
Yeah. But I'm just really excited knowing what Breath of the Wild did for Zelda. Like, and I think they're aware of this. We're expecting this from Mario. And I'm hoping they deliver. I think the game looks really good so far. You know, we won't know till we get our hands on it, but it looks yeah. really good. So
they showed off. Did you see them the Mexican desert level?
Yes.
That they showed off.
Yes.
They had this mechanic in there. Actually, was it this level? I think it was. Yeah, it was this level. So they had this mechanic in there where like there's a brick. There are these brick mirror walls, mural walls, that have what looks like the design from Mario 1 on them. Like they have like boxes from Mario 1
and stuff. Yeah.
And like the dude who's playing Mario walked up to the wall and then like did this like what was that Zelda game that came out for 3DS?
Between Worlds. Yeah.
They did like this Link Between Worlds thing where like they shifted into the wall and became 2D and started playing this like mini Super Mario 1 level,
which
and
is then popped genius.
Out on the other side, which blew my mind. I was like, yo, that's crazy. That's so genius. Good. That's exactly what I want from this game. Like, they're very good. Nintendo as a company is very good at giving fans like fanfare. Like, they're very good at those Easter egg kind of moments mm-hmm. where like you get like you walk into a level and all of a sudden they're playing this song from Mario 64, or you like you walk into a different level and all of a sudden like you see like these you see these tubes that are like in 8-bit style or something like that. Like, they're very good at that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And like kind of triggering like your memory in that sort of way, and like and triggering these like nostalgic moments for you in a way that's mm-hmm. like crazy awesome. And so I'm really hyped for this game, and like I mean, I have very high expectations for it because, once again, Mario 64, my favorite game. It's a 10 out of 10 game. Mario Sunshine, I don't really care. Mario Galaxy 1 and 2, very great games. I would say those games are like 10 out of 10, 9 out of 10. Like, they're up there. They're very polished, very great. And this game looks to follow in the footsteps of those games. Like, they described it as being like Mario 64 and Sunshine in how like open it is. And watching them play it, it actually reminded me a lot of like Banjo-Kazooie, weirdly enough, which I just played last year. And so, like, the fact that they're going for that kind of thing, the fact that it has exploration involved in it, which like Galaxy 1 and 2 didn't have. Galaxy 1 and 2 were very much like they had set paths, but the fact that they're opening up the way you approach these levels and the way that like you're able to just like be in them and look around them and kind of just explore them at your own leisure, I think that's very great for Mario. And that's the thing we haven't seen forever, and that's like the thing, one of the things that made Mario 64 an amazing game. And so, yeah, I'm really happy for it.
We haven't talked about the main gimmick of the game, the hat ability.
And oh, yeah.
What that's bringing to the table. So, essentially, Mario can now take control of beasts, or of anything, really. Inanimate objects, other characters, humans, frogs, dinosaurs. Like, so, essentially, he throws his hat now and you possess, which seems like it's going to be great for gameplay. Like, that opens up a lot of possibility.
Like, for one example, like, there was a moment they showed during the gameplay where Mario threw his hat at a bullet bill, and then he transformed into the bullet bill and was able to navigate like a bullet bill. Like, you don't know what a bullet bill is. Essentially, like, those big, giant bullets.
Floating bullet, yeah.
Yeah, so he transformed into one of those and started, like, navigating through the level. And then, like, the people doing, like, the narration we were talking about, like, oh, yeah, like, if you're in the bullet bill too long, like, it'll explode and all this stuff because it's a bullet bill, of course. And so, like, but the way it seems like the mechanics they're using is very much, they very much strike me as, like, traditional Mario in the sense that, like, they're creative, unique, fun little things. Like, you have, like, Mario, like, the thing about Mario is the hats he has, right? Especially in 64. Like, you get different hats, and, like, you have, like, these different abilities for, like, a very quick amount of time, right? And it seems like another one of those things of, like, you're able to transform into a bullet bill very briefly. You're able to transform into, like, this a random Goomba. Enemy very briefly and utilize their abilities in some, like, unique, cool way in order to, like, achieve an objective.
Transform into a freaking car.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. I need to go watch city. More of that stuff because I missed a lot of it.
Yeah.
Because I remember seeing, like, I like came in and I tuned in at a part where like there's just a car driving around with a Mario hat, and I was like, oh, that's weird. And then it turned into Mario, and I was like, yo, what the heck is happening right now?
Yeah. So
yeah,
I'm stoked.
I'm super hyped for it.
Overall thoughts for the conference.
Overall, so at the end of it, I was like, Nintendo took it. Nintendo's won E3. After like marinating on it a bit, I don't know if I'd still say that. I don't think. So, like, none of the E3 conferences really, like, blew my mind. Like, none of them were really, to me, like, amazing, like,
it's a pretty tame
crazy
year.
Awesome. It's a pretty tame year. But at the same time, like, I also think all of them were pretty good. Like, all of them were great. Like, all of them were awesome at the same time. Like, even though, like, none of them really struck me as crazy awesome, all of them still struck me as, like, pretty awesome. And so, like, yeah. I'm very satisfied with this Nintendo Spotlight. Even though there's a bunch of stuff that I wanted that I didn't get. I didn't get Mario Maker. I didn't get Virtual Console. I didn't get, I didn't really get any, like, big games that I cared about, because, like, I don't really care about Yoshi. I don't really care about Kirby. Metroid Prime 4 is super exciting, is, of course, their most exciting announcement from this thing, but I'm not really a Metroid person, and so it didn't really hit me as, like, something that's, like, super exciting for me personally. And then, like, the Pokemon thing was super exciting, but, like, they're at the infancy stage of that, seemingly.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
Like, I thought, and like,
didn't
overall...
have a logo.
Or yeah, they don't have a logo or name, like, yeah, so I don't expect to see that for a couple
years. Yeah,
but I think I expect to see it.
We'll get something from it next E3.
Yeah, but if I had to guess, I would guess like 2 or 3 years, maybe. But yeah, that might be the optimist in me.
Yeah, because like, there's also might be another... like, it depends on what style are they going in, since they have so much more power at their
hands.
That's
true. So that's very true. And I'm also like, I don't want to, like, overlook, like, the Zelda thing of, like, Zelda announced in 2013 or something like that, or 2012 maybe. I can't remember exactly the year, but it's just coming out this year.
Yeah.
And that game was announced for 2015. And so, like, trying to keep that in mind when I think of, like, when I think some of these games are going to come out. Like, Metroid Prime 4 could be a 2020 game. Pokemon could be a 2020 game.
And also keep in mind the other games that have been announced. Like, we know there's a new Fire Emblem's coming out. We're supposed to get an animal. We're supposed to have an Animal Crossing Direct at some point.
Yeah, but part of me thinks that's just gonna be the mobile thing.
It seems like
they're gonna double down on
what
that
they've done. What they've done so far is mobile and real game. Mm-hmm. Seems like they've hit that on each Direct about mobile games, but I could be wrong.
Did they say they're doing an Animal Crossing Direct?
I'm pretty positive.
Or is that speculation? Okay.
I'm pretty positive they have. But, huh. We'll see.
I don't know.
I think it'd be incredibly dumb of them to not have an Animal Crossing game. Also, I just remembered Stardew Valley is supposed to come out on Switch this summer. So,
oh yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah,
I still feel like the catalog for Switch games feels a bit empty to me. But I think that's I don't know what it is. But I think I think part of it might be the way Nintendo goes about announcing things.
Yeah,
because like they had that Direct. Like a month ago, maybe a month and a half ago, where they just did announcement, like the Direct where they announced like Payday 2 and like the some Minecraft and all that stuff. Like they had announcement after announcement after announcement, back to back to back to back to back, very quickly. And these are like mostly indie games.
Did we talk about like, they announced Skyrim stuff? They showed off Skyrim stuff, didn't they?
Wait, and during this Direct?
I could be wrong. Yeah, they showed off
that was
like
during.
This,
that, oh, I think that was at Bethesda. Right?
I think they might have, maybe they just touched on it today because they were showing the skins and Skyrim. I could be wrong.
Oh, that was at Bethesda. Okay.
All right, there's been so much. Honestly, Nintendo has been doing a great job third party at E3. They've been at so many different conferences, which is a good sign.
I talked about that with Ian because we were making jokes about how like it has amiibo functionality for in Skyrim.
Yeah,
and like the outfit, like the Link outfit that you get in Skyrim, looks nothing like Link. It looks kind of janky. And also like,
hey, just give me the sword. I'm down with that.
And it also has motion controls, which had me dying. Because that is the most Nintendo thing I've ever seen in my life is Skyrim with motion controls.
Could you imagine being, but that like Pete, what's his name? Not Pete Hines.
Shigeru Miyamoto approaching like Todd Howard.
Todd Howard, thank you.
And being like, hey Todd. In like Japanese, he's like, hey Todd. And like his interpreter is like, hey, I think this would be really cool if it had motion controls. And Todd just looking back at him like,
and Pete Hines is in the corner just like eyeing Todd like, just go along with it.
Yeah, Todd Howard's like shaking his head, but he's like, oh man,
I guess we have,
you're technically my senior, and so like you're like one generation above me, I gotta listen to you, Shigeru Miyamoto.
Obviously you can play the game without them, but I'm gonna see how far I can get with the motion controls. It'll be like 10 minutes.
That's the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. It's not a bad thing.
No.
But it's just like
so gimmicky.
Funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, could you imagine? They're like trying to do a bow and arrow with motion controls. I'm like, are you kidding me right now?
I mean, I've played Zelda on Wii. And so like,
you've already seen
Twilight Princess, man. What a game. Also Skyward Sword. That game sucked. what else? Oh, we have questions. I forgot. I made a tweet. and I've been getting hella notifications. Noah Friscott asks, when realistically do you think we'll see Metroid actually come out? And is it another Breath of the Wild situation? And we kind of just talked about this.
2019.
Ooh, that's 2 years from now. I don't think they've started development on it.
Oh, you don't?
Personally.
That's a good point. Yeah, we only got a logo.
I would say 2020.
It's also weird because I feel like Nintendo's had very short console cycles because they've been scrambling for so long, like trying to get something that hits. And I feel like they finally have something that hits, so we have to like adjust our expectations. Like, this could be a console generation that lasts like the 360, like 8 years. It's, you know, it just depends. Like,
yeah, I think 0% that it'll be a Zelda situation, because the thing that made Zelda take forever to come out was the fact that it was straddling console generations. Yeah, like, yeah. They're going to put out Zelda. They didn't want to put it out on the Wii U exclusively, but they still wanted to like keep that promise. And so like they had to wait for the Switch to come out to put out Zelda. And so
yeah, I don't think it'll be like that.
Yeah, I think 2020, because I think Nintendo, apart from like Zelda, they're pretty good about announcing stuff and not taking forever to release it. But the fact that like they just had the logo for Metroid makes me think that we're not going to see it for like 3 years. Like, I think next year we'll see like a quick cinematic trailer. Year after that, we'll see gameplay. Year after that, it's released.
Yeah, that can make sense.
And if it releases in 2019, then part of me would think that like maybe this is going to be like a Star Fox Zero situation where it comes out and it's bad.
Sure.
But yeah. I hope not.
I'm thinking like 2.5 years, maybe not quite three.
Mm-hmm.
Like late 2019, like fall.
But I'm very curious. Knows? Yeah. It might also be a shorter game.
True.
And so like, maybe 2019, if it's like a...
I'm saying fall 2019 or spring 2020, which is insane that we're talking about a game like 2020 is only 3 years away. That's insane to me. Yeah. I'm gonna die soon.
Time flies when you're getting hot. What are you guys looking forward to? This is from Clint Gilmore. What are you guys looking forward to, Kirby or Yoshi? I think Kirby looks like the better game, but I love Yoshi's art style.
I think Yoshi looks like the better game, and I love the art style better.
I'm the exact same on both. Like, I'm not really looking for one over the other. I think Yoshi's art style is clearly, like, it looks better. Kirby, I think I'm more excited for Kirby just for the fact that I haven't played Kirby in a while.
Sure.
And, I don't know. I could see myself getting back into that kind of thing if it's done right. It seems like this Kirby game is going to be more, developed of a Kirby game than, like, their previous Kirby games, yeah. Which, of course,
honestly, I need to go back and watch the trailer. Because yeah. I was in the moment, I was like, oh, Kirby. And then I was tweeting you guys, like, we're getting Kirby. So maybe my my thoughts will change if I, like, watch the trailer more closely. We'll see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As of right now, I'm Yoshi.
Andrew Taylor asks, why are you so salty? He also asks, you stoked for that Metroid Switch game? I don't know if stoked is the word for me. I'm hyped for other people. I'm hyped for people that love Metroid. And so, like, I'm glad people are getting the game that they want, that they didn't think they were going to get. So I'm hyped for that. I'm anticipating it. I'm very interested in it. I have a curiosity. It's not even a morbid curiosity, because I don't think it'll be bad. It's just I just want to see how this looks and what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
DJ Gillard asks, what year does Metroid Prime 4 actually come out? And we kind of already answered this, but also, do you think we could see a remaster of the OG trilogy to tie this over?
I mean, I don't think we can answer that until we see if virtual console is a thing or not. Like, I feel like there's so much stuff that needs to be before that.
Do you think they would give it like the Mario Kart 8 deluxe treatment of like it them releasing it as like a trilogy, like a deluxe trilogy, like Metroid Prime
8? I feel like from trilogy like deluxe. If I was a business dude. And I'm looking at this. I'm thinking, dude, we're already working on two Metroid games. We've got a 2D that's coming out. We've got a 3D that's coming out. Maybe this is a little overkill to re-release them. Like, we're already answering the fans' desires of getting a new one. Do we think we're going to sell that many of the old ones? Because we already kind of have an old one on the 3DS that's coming out.
On the opposite foot.
Okay.
I think the two brands of Zelda... Or, like, the two types of Zelda, I think... Or not Zelda. Why am I saying Zelda? Metroid are different enough. Like, considering that we're going to get this game, like this new Metroid game, the 3DS Metroid game, this year, I think, I'm gonna check that real quick before I say this. Some new Metroid game coming out to 3DS. It's a side scroller. It'll be out September 15th, so they have a date. So,
oh wow, okay.
Yeah, 3DS Metroid is coming out December 15th or September 15th. Metroid Prime will be out 2019-2020. And so, like, I think 2018, you have, like, a year without Zelda. Or not, why do I keep saying Zelda? Metroid. I feel like they want to build that anticipation up a bit. And considering that, like, Metroid, the 3DS Metroid is going to fill the thirst for, like, a 2D Metroidvania kind of game, right? If you release a new Metroid trilogy in 2018, considering it's, like, one of the rarest games on, if not the rarest game on the Wii, like, I feel like people who love Metroid Prime would be super hyped for it, and it could get people's, like, for people to see that and, like, try it out, I think it might be able to get people's hopes up for it. Yeah. I think it maybe could be overkill, but at the same time, I feel like in a sphere where, like, it's been forever since a Metroid Prime game, and a sphere where people are kind of, like, there's a lot of people right now that may not have experienced Metroid Prime, might not even, like, know what Metroid Prime is. Like, there's a lot of youngins out there. There's a lot of young bloods out there. I feel like putting out a Metroid trilogy could maybe kind of, like, inform them what that is and kind of get them into that world a bit.
Yeah, I could definitely. Possibly. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
But
Stephen Coffin asks, why was the Ubisoft conference so much better than Nintendo's? And to you, Stephen. Stephen's cool, by the way. I love Stephen. He's, like, he's a very friendly
fellow on Twitter. I feel like I've talked to him more and more the past 2 months or so. Like, yeah, he's been popping up in my notifications a lot. He's cool.
He let me know when he started listening to the podcast, and it was very recently, and he's been really cool on Twitter since then.
He's cool.
I need to follow Steven, him. You are wrong.
I'm going to follow
you
him right now. You are very wrong. Because I'm a bad
friend. Yeah, I think I just followed him, actually, today.
I'm bad about people just tweet, and I'm like, oh, cool, let's talk. And I forget, like, sometimes you forget you don't follow them. So I'm following you right now, my dude.
But he said, he asked why was the Ubisoft conference better than Nintendo, and I say, you're wrong. The Ubisoft conference was not good, my friend. Beyond
Mario Cross Rabbids.
Beyond Mario Cross Rabbids
was
the only good announcement.
That's
Beyond
not
Good
true.
And Evil, right?
Okay, I feel like Ubisoft was probably the worst one.
Thank you so much.
The worst conference this year. But I also think they had some...
You like pirates, don't you?
Yeah, I'm also like, why is everybody doing pirates now?
I hate pirates so much.
Well, dude, okay. Sea of Thieves is awesome. And I wish you'd believe me on that. All right. Anyways, regardless of your hate,
that's like me saying I hate mangoes and you being like, mango juice is so awesome though. It's like, if I hate mangoes, I don't like mango juice.
Okay. Anyways. So yeah, for some reason it's the year of the pirate. I'm not sure why. I pulled up our recap on OKBeast.com. Again, reminder people, we've got recaps for every conference. So if you didn't get one, if you didn't get to see one, if you didn't get to see the PC gaming show, like I know a lot of our console friends and fans don't really follow PC that much. But let me tell you, there are some gems in there that are coming to console, I know. So you should go check out our recap. I'll probably also do a video on that. That's a separate story. Let me pull up the Ubisoft one. They did Mario Cross Rabbids. That was awesome. The Crew 2, really boring. Don't care about The Crew. Transference is a creepy VR game, which was eh. I'm trying not to go, like, we don't have to talk about all these because we did a wrap up already. All right, the pirate game Skull and Bones. That looked like it could be cool, but it also reminded me of another For Honor, which didn't do that well. Like, it seems like it's died off, even though it did well commercially. So they have to sell me on that. Again, we didn't get any gameplay. I'm going to skip everything. South Park looked awesome.
Forgot Just Dance.
I skipped Just Dance. skipping that. Beyond Good and Evil 2. Great cinematic. Still know nothing about the game.
That game's not coming out ever. Until late 2020s.
Yeah, but that monkey looked awesome.
2028.
He was hilarious.
When they come out, we went through this rant yesterday, me and Ian did. When you come out and you're like, hey guys, help us make our game, that means that game is not coming out for
a very long time.
Gonna come out. That game is going to be Final Fantasy VII Remake. Yeah. It's going to be Kingdom Hearts.
But for me, as a not a fan of that series, I might enjoy it. So
yeah, I plan to go back and play Beyond Good and Evil 1 because same. I never played it, and so yeah. like, and so like that. That announcement fell flat on me because I have no idea.
It looked like
what
an
that
awesome world, though.
It looked cool. It looked like a game I'd like to play.
Yeah.
And I know people like Sean Pitts, for example, like, tweeted at me and was like, "Beyond Good and Evil 2 is like the best announcement of like the last like 3 years." And so like people really love Beyond Good and Evil. Like I know Marty.
I think
Siva
it's up there with like Half-Life.
I think Alana Pierce. I think it's Alana Pierce's like favorite game of all time. And so like. People love Beyond Good and Evil, and it saddens me that I've never like really like looked into the game because I don't know. I feel like the game just appeared out of thin air all of a sudden. Like yeah. I had never heard of Beyond Good and Evil.
But for me, I feel like the Ubisoft was the worst conference this
same
year.
Here. Like
granted, like we're talking about like all these awesome conferences. Like to say that Ubisoft is worse doesn't mean it's like an F. But it certainly isn't.
Oh yeah,
isn't an A.
No, it's like a D minus. No, I'm kidding.
Why so salty?
It was all right. It wasn't like
I think like
horrid.
We knew a lot of what was going to be there.
We knew almost everything that was going to be there
because they announced it.
Like,
ahead of time.
They announced the crew. They announced Fallout. They announced Far Cry. They announced Assassin's Creed, and also that leaked all over the place.
Can we also say how smart it was of them? Because you know they intentionally leaked Assassin's Creed to keep the eyes off of Beyond Good and Evil 2. Like, everybody was so,
so
focused on Assassin's Creed.
You know what? It is very surprising that Beyond Good and Evil 2
didn't leak.
Yeah. Even though I think people did talk about, like, they saw somebody's, like, LinkedIn saying they worked on it or something like that. There was, like, one thing that leaked about it, but people were like, oh, that's fake.
But, I mean, I'm not going to lie. Like, one of my most anticipated, maybe not most anticipated, but one that I'm looking forward to is Mario Cross Rabbids. That's largely a Ubisoft game, so credit to where credit's due.
And that game also leaked all over the place.
It did.
And so, like, that announcement fell very, very flat.
Yeah.
But
still, like, yeah,
also,
they're making it.
It
looks cool.
It.
But for me, the conference itself, fell flat.
And there was awkward moments between, like, Yves Guillemot and, like, the other guy.
Yeah.
Most disappointing part of that conference is that, like, Vivendi didn't like kick in the door and started playing rock music and was like,
gosh.
Oh, we back now.
Oh my god.
The fact that didn't happen was kind of disappointing to me also.
It's also kind of like nice to see them though, like go after like these bigger games. Oh, also Ubisoft is last because they did not announce freaking Splinter Cell. So
that too. I wouldn't put them last still
that.
Because EA still exists.
No, EA
know,
gave
like,
us a way out. So I'm,
they did give us a way out.
And I'm so for Battlefront 2, even though it showed, like, the esports thing was so bad. The game is, I'm really hyped for it, so.
Yeah.
Kind of makes up for it. But A Way Out looks incredible. Anyway, I know we were
talking about Nintendo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the question was why was Ubisoft better? And, kind sir, you are wrong.
Sorry, bud.
If you're listening and you feel the opposite way, you feel like Ubisoft had a good conference, do me a favor, do not at me. Because people have added me all week about it, and I cannot stand it. I am done.
You can add me.
I at Alex Van Aken. I don't understand. People haven't given me any good reasoning besides Beyond Good and Evil 2, and I understand that reasoning. But aside from that, like, what else? What other announcement did they have that was like, oh my gosh? They had no A Way Out. They had no Shadow of Colossus remake. They had no Wolfenstein 2. They had no Metroid Prime. They had no whatever the heck Devolver Digital was. Come on, son. We're better than this. We should probably wrap up.
Ori and the Will of the Wisps.
Will of the Wisps. Oh, I forgot about Xbox. They had no new console.
Don't let's not talk about that, because then that's gonna
be a whole other thing. We'll talk about that on Pixel Pulse Radio later.
Yeah.
But for now, remember that this is actually the OK Beast podcast. It is a weekly gaming and nerd culture centric show. This is where we get together and talk about the biggest topics in games and culture. If you like the show, subscribe to us on your streaming service of choice. Visit OKBeast.com and follow at OKBeast now on Twitter. Also, you can follow me on Twitter. I'm Blessing. Hi. You can follow me on Twitter at Blessing Jr. You can follow Alex on Twitter at It's Van Aken. Also, OKBeast has an Instagram that you can follow at OKBeast now. Did that all sound good, Alex? Did I miss anything?
Lil Yachty is the voice of our generation. He is a god.
Thank you for listening. Bye.